Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord for giving us these times of talks, of fellowship on the matter of intercessory prayer. I surely hope that you all have received some help that would build up your prayer life, and even to build you up as a proper intercessor in the house of God. My house is a house of prayer and not a house of merchandise. We should never forget that. The house of God, the house of our Father, is firstly a house of prayer, a place where the incense is offered day and night. Now, tonight, we are coming to a bit of a conclusion to this series, and because next week the semi-annual training on the crystallization of Jeremiah begins, and so we're going to take a break, a Selah, and I don't know for how long, we will see, but it is proper to have a break, to have a Selah, to have a Sabbath, right? Now, tonight, I want to give, I wouldn't say this is a conclusion, but I would like to say something to end this series of talk. Remember that my burden is always not just the doctrinal aspects of things. Yes, we were very much on the incense altar and so many things, but my interest and burden is never just the doctrine, nor even just the so-called truth of these things, the interpretation of types, for example. No, my burden is always the application of these truths and of these biblical knowledge and types and so on, prefigures and so on, to help us to apply them and to experience them, even to become them. This is my intense burden. So, as always, I would just say, remember, whatever is spoken here, do practice these things. Paul said, what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have received from me, practice these things. Practice, because if we don't practice, these things will just remain as letter, in letter, and as mere knowledge to us. And if we keep collecting these knowledge, it will be just a musty, dusty attic full of old treasures that you would not discard because you hoard so much of it, but it doesn't do you anything. It's almost like junk. Even though they're not junk, that it's almost like junk because it's not useful to you. It's not benefiting you. It's just there as a kind of collector item, you know, just a collection of good things, beautiful things. So brothers and sisters, practice these things. And with these COVID-19 days, we're still not out of it. Out of them, let us continue earnestly to practice day and night. And I still hope that you have all signed up on beseeching.org and follow those daily prayer as a help. You don't have to follow it, but as a help to pray daily in the school of prayer. You will see in a few months, your praying strength will increase, your praying stamina. Your utterance will improve. Your ability to follow the inner anointing, that is the mind of the Spirit or the move of the Spirit, to pray accordingly. The ability to pray longer prayers, I mean for longer times, in other words, to persevere. And all in all, to have more effectual intercession. You will find you will grow You really will improve in these things. But that is not a miracle. That is not unbelievable, because you've been working on it. You've been going to school. You've been doing your homework. And you've been doing your exercise. And so you grow, you improve. So keep doing it. And let's do it until the Lord comes, right? Until we earthly intercessors meet physically the heavenly one. Now, tonight I want to mention mainly just two things, using Paul as an example, Paul the Apostle. And you may say these two things are kind of small things, but actually they are not. They're not. These are not afterthoughts. These are not minor things, really. They're actually very important, and especially in our practice of prayer. What am I talking about? Number one, tonight I like all of us, myself included, to learn from Paul's prayer, to make mention. Paul, as far as I know, is the only one who used these words, "I make mention of you," making mention of you. Whether he mentioned name by name, whether he mentioned a church, whether he mentioned a body of saints in certain place, I think it includes all of the above. But Paul would say this, Paul would mention this in a particular way, as we will see, making mention of you, making mention of you. This is a great thing. We'll talk about it. The second thing is how Paul always did not only pray, you know, he had this incredible prayer life, of course, but he not only prayed. We have seen prayer is just a general term. There are many words to describe prayer. The word is even like beseeching. Beseech is similar to petition, all right? Intercession, which is to pray on behalf of some other party or parties. You have supplication, to supplicate. And in fact, there are many things we do while we pray. Confession. We make confession. Am I right? We ask for forgiveness, right? All these things take place in our prayer. But one thing we may miss, or we may not do so much unconsciously, is the matter of thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving. In a way, I would say, if we don't practice habitually these two things in our prayer, daily prayer, there's a lot of lack. It's almost like it's an incomplete exercise. Now, to help us, I think some verses would be important. I really didn't have time to collect the verses and write it down, but I'll just, whatever I remember, I'll just kind of mention it here as just illustration. So this is not an exhaustive list of scriptures from Paul's epistles. Romans 1, verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers." So Paul was praying. He is praying for this, he's praying for that, who knows? But he told the Romans, or the saints in Rome, the church in Rome, unceasingly he would make mention of them. I'm sure a lot of these names are in chapter 16 of Romans. Don't you think? I think it's logical, because he remembered all those names. Paul had a big Rolodex file. He does not forget people like I do, poor me, shame on me. Meet a brother, gets his name. The next moment I forgot. Paul never forgets. He remembers the names. Whether he wrote it down, I do not know. That means the names are engraved or etched in his heart. These are human beings, not just human beings. These are believers. These are saints of God. These are brothers and sisters. And so he, in his prayers, as the Spirit led him, he would make mention of this group or that church or this individual or that person, that saint, always, always in an unceasing way. Now, brothers, I think I have to admit my prayer is not like this. I pray generally, I pray for, you know, USA or whatever. Of course, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for that. But Paul was detailed. Paul was fine. Paul, I would even say, was intimate in his concern and care for the saints and the churches. So Paul did not just pray, oh, Lord, I pray for the seven churches in Asia Minor. No, he didn't. He prayed, he didn't say, Lord, I pray for all the places in Achaia and Macedonia or whatever. No, he testified, he mentioned you, the recipients of this epistle to the church in Rome, you specifically, you, unceasingly, I make mention of you. He named names. He named names before God. Not general, but names. And there's something special about mentioning names or persons or churches, whatever the case may be, in a specific way. Brothers, I think we've all inherited a not so good habit, that is to mostly pray generally, maybe very high, but general, just very general. So general that even the Lord, sometimes I think, don't know what you're asking for. You're just telling him something so general that he does not even know how to answer your prayer because you never specifically mention this person or that person or this need or that need. We didn't do it. So give the Lord a hand, okay? The one who listens to the prayer and the one who would answer these prayers to do something, according to his heart's desire, by telling him exactly. You don't go to a grocery store and say, Albertson or whatever it is, and say, I'm here, I want grocery. The people will say, okay, you're in the right place, but what do you want? No, I just want groceries. You don't even say, I want vegetables, because there's tons of kinds of vegetables. You say, I want celery, right? I want green beans, or I want this or that, or this kind of fruit, or that kind of milk. The more specific you are, the more you know how to find it. You know, sometimes I do grocery shopping. I have a list that my wife wrote, even sometimes with the brand name and which aisle. So I don't waste time running around there grocery shopping. I know what I want and I get out after I'm done. A lot of our prayer are so general. We don't know where we start. We don't know where we end. And even the Lord doesn't know what you're talking about. It all sounds very good and spiritual, but it is not effectual because it's not specific. And the lack of specificity is also an indication of that our heart is not so caring. You know what I mean? You just generally, when you really care for someone or some situation, let's say an unsafe friend, you're so burdened, you would just be pressed to mention the name and pray and touch the Lord over and over again. That's to make mention. And the Lord would know your heart and know how to answer your prayer in due course. You see? And my story, and I've told this before in other context, is my grandmother, who, when I was young, when I visit him, her, she would just pull me into her room, knelt down. And of course, I don't know what to pray. I was like, you know, 11 years old or whatever it is. And she would pray. I just amen, you know. And she would pray. She just prayed for names, all right? She may not pray for God's economy, but she prayed for names. She prayed for the names of every one of her grandchild, and I know how she would pray because every time she prayed that way. From the oldest to the youngest, and I was one of them in there somewhere, and she prayed. She prayed earnestly, mentioning names. This one is still not saved. That one needs to know you. That one, like that. I got tired of it. Because I know what's gonna happen when she gets me. You know, it's just to amen all these prayers that I know what she would utter. But I'm sitting here tonight, brothers and sisters. I'm sitting here tonight because of that. Because she mentioned my name or some other's name over and over again. Who knows how many years she was still doing that. And I'm sitting here today. Now, I don't mean only because of my grandmother, but I would like to tell you, so far as I know, her prayer was heard. Her particular prayer, her particular mentioning, making mention of me, was heard by God. And then the ensuing years, even after she passed away, her prayers were still being answered. And I would even say today, the Lord is still answering her prayers. Brothers and sisters, of course, I don't mean to do this in a formula way. You know, I don't mean that. You have to have that burden. You have to have that sincere heart. You have to have that intimate concern. And we need to acquire all of that. But I'm talking about making mention. Brothers, making mention. Either in our own prayers of twos and threes, especially in our personal prayers and the prayers of two and three, which is not a huge big prayer meeting, we can afford to labor on names. On names. You know, Epaphras, his name appeared twice in the book of Colossians, one in chapter 1, one in chapter 4, the end. And Paul mentioned him twice, because, you know, he was actually a Colossian and became a worker serving the Paul. And Paul said, testify on his behalf that how Epaphras struggled on your behalf. In other words, Epaphras particularly was burdened for his home church, for the saints in Colossae. So it says he struggled on your behalf. He didn't pray for the whole universe. He didn't pray for every single church on the earth at that time. But he was burdened for Colossae. So he prayed and prayed and prayed until so that they can one day stand mature in Christ to be full grown. So, brothers, how much have we struggled on particular individual year after year until we see them grow and established, right? And even mature. How much have we done that? No wonder our shepherding work is also general and also not so powerful or effective, because our prayer, specific prayer, is lacking. So, you know, Colossians, you know, here, first of all, it says in chapter 1, verse 7, that this Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So he was a minister of Christ on behalf of the Colossians. That means he originated from there. That was his source. But towards the end, It says here, I quote what I just mentioned. Epaphras, who is one of you, right? He's a Colossian, a slave of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras must be praying continually, because it will take time for these Colossians to be mature. So he must have keep praying and praying nonstop. Brothers, how often we jump from this to that, this to that. This thing, pray a little bit. That thing, pray a little bit. Eventually, this kind of prayer does not result in much. But if you pray singularly for this, for that, you may not be praying for so many things, but certain things the Lord has given to you or commissioned you to pray or laid in your heart, you should be faithful to pray for that. Even if no one else is praying, you are still praying for that person or that situation. Brothers, this have great effect on our shepherding. We cannot have good results in shepherding someone if we don't pray for that someone in a regular, continual way. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. So, brothers and sisters, there's too much to pray for. You know, sometimes I'm driving, then the Lord brought up a person or some people or whatever. That is not just for me to call to mind and remember. That is for me to right away mention them. And that is a practice that I have not built up. When something calls to mind, a person calls to mind, right away don't think and just think and get into your mind. Right away pray. That person needs prayer. I don't care what the case may be. That person needs prayer. And when that person is brought to your mind, our job is to pray first. We may consider certain things, but our job is to pray first. Should we practice this, brothers? When some name is brought to you frequently, we just think, this person is good, this person is bad. You start having these kind of thoughts. No, the first thing, that the first reason why a name is brought to you, because the Lord is touching you to pray. The heavenly intercessor needs an earthly echo of his prayer for this person right at this moment. Sometimes even later on, we find out we didn't know why the name was brought up, and we don't know why we pray, and afterwards we found out something was happened just at that time. I have that experience. These are not fairy tale, brothers and sisters. This is very real. We don't know. The Spirit knows. But we need to have this habit of making mention. Now, the last thing I would say on this matter is in 2 Timothy, to show how Paul, this time, not only prayed for a lot of names in a church or whatever, he prayed for one single person, and this person happened to be Timothy. He was already in the last time in prison, Paul, about to be martyred, last epistle to Timothy. And he was burdened for this young man who was his co-worker. And he said, I thank God. You know, the second Timothy is a more personal epistle to Timothy than the first epistle. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience. While unceasingly, he just loved to use this word, unceasingly, I have remembrance concerning you in my petitions night and day. I have remembrance concerning you in my petitions night and day. So Paul, because he was in prison, night and day, he was fulfilling the ministry of prayer, of intercession. And he said, I have remembrance. This word means you call to mind, you think of someone, you consider some person concerning you in my petition. Paul was asking on something on Timothy's behalf. He may be saying, Lord, cause Timothy to fan into flame that gift of God that is in him. Cause Timothy not to forget he had a spirit of power. Oh, cause Timothy, right, to be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Whatever it may be, whatever he wrote here, he probably had prayed. And because he prayed that way, he wrote this way to encourage Timothy, his spiritual son. Brothers, do you have a spiritual son? Do you have a spiritual daughter? Do you have someone that you specifically care for? This person may be a new one. This person may be even a serving one. But this serving one needs your prayer. In specific cases, you realize this person has certain lack or certain weakness or certain area that needs improvement or growth. Only you know. So you pray. No one knows and no one can pray that kind of detailed prayer except you. So learn to pray in this way. And when we pray in this way, we don't say, just mention a name, oh Lord Timothy, oh Lord Timothy. I don't think so. I think Paul was very specific in telling the Lord, do this to Timothy, help him in this, cause him not to be timid, empower him with your grace. I believe the epistle he wrote, it's all his prayer for Timothy written down in a way, you know what I mean? So this is something even college students, you should learn to do at your age. You're not too young. Even high schoolers, brothers and sisters, you should learn at that age to pray. You know, I pray for my, in my high school, for my neighbor, my playmate neighbor. And at one point, I just am burdened for his salvation, the two brothers. One got saved when I was still in Hong Kong. The other didn't get saved. But I pray. Even after I came to the USA, I went to Oregon. I still remember I prayed. And the day came, I heard he was also saved. Brothers, that is just an unbeliever's praying for his salvation. But we need to pray for the saints' growth. This person is saved, you may say, but not baptized. So you need to pray specifically for his or her baptism. And this person is baptized, but he's not consecrated. So you need to pray that he or she will pass the gateway of consecration. This person is consecrated, but he has never dealt with some sins. And so you need to pray. So brothers, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is part and partial of our shepherding work. This is how we build up the saints, edify the saints, and this is how we build up the church. Talk about how to build up the church. This is what we do. If in the church there is a group of brothers and sisters, one out of every four, one out of every three, one out of every two saints, who would be praying like this on a daily basis, don't you believe something will happen to that church? It would really be a miracle if nothing happens. But no, our prayer is general, kind of up here in the air. It's time to be specific for reality and what? Make mention. Bring to remembrance and concerning a specific you. Who is the you, brothers? Even I like to ask all of you. You don't answer me, right? You answer to the Lord. How many yous do you have right now? One, two, three. Brotherly used to train us in this way. He said, I don't want numbers. Tell me the names. In training meetings, give me names. And some of us couldn't give him names because we're just so general. I'm so burdened. I'm doing this and that. But I don't have three names, five names, two names, one name that the Lord has laid in my heart. So my shepherding is really, in a sense, I don't have really real burden for people. I don't have specific ones under my care. not in the case of Paul. You know, I mentioned, keep saying Romans 16, right? In the case of Paul, he remembers every name, and he prayed likely for every name. Let's practice this. Second thing, dear saints, is this matter of thanksgiving. And in this one, I would like to, of course, always start with this a famous verse on prayer that we always start with when we talk about prayer. And that is 1 Timothy chapter 2, right? And once when Paul started to talk about the church life, the first thing he mentioned is, I exhort therefore, first of all, petitions be made. But he didn't say that. He said that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. We actually need to study each of these. Even prayers, I said it's general, but here he made it quite specific. Prayers is evidently different from petition. And petition is different from intercession. But the fourth thing Paul mentioned here, he did not forget, is what? Is thanksgivings. Brothers, a lot of our prayer did not end with thanksgiving. Or we forgot to give thanks. Now, this matter of giving thanks is part of the Christian life, right? Giving thanks in all things. Unceasingly pray, giving thanks. Giving thanks, am I right? And so this matter of giving thanks is really part of our Christian life, for sure. But tonight, I'm not just talking about the Christian life in a general way, but the Christian life in a specific way related to the prayer aspect of the Christian life, the prayer life of a Christian, and specifically related to the prayers of the saints, there must be the element of thanksgiving. Because whether we know it or not, God is there to hear our prayer in secret. Whether we know it or not, in some ways, the Lord will answer our prayer, assuming our prayers are the proper kind of prayer. And even for us to be able to have this privilege to petition, to come to Him, to make mention, to intercede, just even to have this right, this honor, this privilege, that someone will be there to hear my petition. You know, when we petition something, we go to some authority and petition something. But if that one rejects you, your petition means nothing. So at least we have someone in the heavens ready to hear your case, our advocate, am I right? Our lawyer, our intercessor, making a plea and petition on our behalf. Shouldn't we give thanks just even for that? And for the Lord to join us in our prayers, should not we give thanks? For the Lord who will answer our prayer, should we not give thanks? Here in the most famous verse on this matter, probably most Christians use this verse, is really in Philippians chapter 4. That says what? That says, in nothing be anxious, right? But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Don't forget with thanksgiving. This is not thanksgiving, but with thanksgiving. Prayer with thanksgiving, petition with thanksgiving. That means our prayer and petition should be accompanied by our giving thanks to the Lord. A prayer and a petition without the accompaniment of thanksgiving is missing something. Here, it does not even say something about the Lord answering the prayer. It's just that we can be pray and be delivered from our anxiety, and the fact that we are able to make requests known to God that save us from these anxieties, we should give thanks. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to him. I think eventually a praying church should be a thanksgiving church. A real praying church with so many prayers being answered is also a thanksgiving church. I ask you to do something and you do it, and I don't even say thanks and I just leave you. That's not even polite, am I right? Where is the gratitude? Where is the gratefulness? Am I right? So the Lord, you know, giving thanks to the Father. The Father want to hear the thanks from his children's mouths. He delights in that. He rejoices in that. He's satisfied by that. Giving thanks to him. Our prayer maybe have some complaints and this and that. But in the end, thank you, Father, for hearing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I can pray to you in this way. Thank you ahead of time for answering my plea, my petition. There are many, many things we can give. And we would even not only give thanks for ourselves, we will even start to give thanks for the people that we pray for in our prayer. How about that? I pray for John. And after I pray for John, I say, thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you for taking care of John. Thank you for growing in John, or whatever your prayer may be. Full of thanksgiving, full of thanksgiving. Then we are not just some kind of people praying some kind of begging prayers. Am I right? Just in a sorrowful way. It may start that way, but it will end with much thanksgiving on our part to the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, those are the two things. Remember the incense we all offer with our prayer. And in fact, the proper prayer is fully mingled with this incense that is Christ. Is for the Father's enjoyment and satisfaction. So if our prayer is not accompanied by thanksgiving, it's not so joyful to the Father or so satisfactory to the Father. So this is not a small thing. So let us fill our mouths with the giving of thanks in our prayer. I believe these two things I mentioned tonight are not small things, and they will strengthen our prayer life. They will enrich our prayer life. They will actually make our prayer life specific and also make our prayer life strong or rich. So I end early tonight. I'm done with my burden. You know, this Thanksgiving, I like to say this, this Thanksgiving eventually leads to praise. You know, thanksgiving and praise are together. Actually, we still need to come back to the matter of praise as we touch this matter of prayer. In the end, when prayer is over, praise begins. You see, prayer is done, praise starts. So praise is a logical conclusion of effectual prayer. So we also need to learn not just to pray, but to praise the Lord, right? We fight by prayer. We actually also fight by praising, like the Levites and the priests of old in Israel. They fought by praising the Lord. So I'll just stop here.